CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is UBC Arts on Air. I'm your host, Ira Nadell. Each week, we feature the ideas and stories of students and staff within the Faculty of Arts at the University of British Columbia. Today, Deb Pickman, new Marketing and Communications Manager for the Arts and Cultural District, soon to launch on the UBC Point Grey campus. Welcome, Deb. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me here, Ira.
Well, this is really pretty exciting, but I have to ask first of all, what is the new Arts and Cultural District, and where is it?
The Arts and Culture District is at the north end of campus, Main Mall, near all around Flagpole Plaza. And you'll notice on the wayfinding, the blades that were put up not so long ago, it has an archaic name. It's called the Cultural Precinct. And the partners that are housed there include the Chan Center, the Museum of Anthropology, the Department of Theater and Film, where I've come from, the School of Music, UBC Opera, the Morris and Helen Bellin Art Gallery, and the Department of Art History, Visual Art, and Theory, more casually referred to as AVAT.
AVAT, right. So all these buildings and departments are there already. So what's going to change? How is it going to be reshaped physically, or at least, you know, conceptually? Because we now want to call this an arts and cultural district.
That's right. Well, we've been preparing for what this can be, both, like, as you say, mentally and physically, for about just over a year, with the Dean of Arts, Gage Avril, initiated a series of workshops. So all of the heads and directors and their marketing and communications people got together with Gage and his some of his executive, and we went through four workshops with many months in between, with lots of time to consider and look at things. And we came up with a wonderful vision of what we'd like to see the cultural district become, really to achieve its promise that really comes from the naming of it by President Norman Mackenzie, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking to coordinate our offerings more so that people see the rich variety as you know, a combined offering and how much is there. For instance, just the simple act of coordinating a calendar of our many, many events, and then having someone like me to be able to look for opportunities to exploit the opportunities that are already there, such as the UBC Have Some Fun campaign that's going on right now through January. It's really lovely. And of course, there's many other things that we can hop on to. Also, aside from enlarging our mental model of the arts district in campus and beyond people's minds, we have come up with a vision of a physical space where you would walk down the north end of campus and you would know that you were in a very special place, that there was something for you, a festival atmosphere, lights, food services. You know, some things, of course, are going to take longer to realize. There's quite a list of things that we've explored that we could do together.
And the purpose is, I would imagine, to incorporate the students and student life on campus into this district, but also the general public, I assume. Is that right?
Absolutely, with particularly the growth of the neighborhoods, Westbrook at UNA. It's never more important to fold in our neighbors but as always include our students, and also to benefit from the rich dialogue between our units. We haven't always had the time to riff off each other. And, of course, we've all thought very deeply about our own areas and our research and our passions. And to be in the room with the heads and marketing and comms people and Gage over the year was just phenomenal to hear the kinds of ideas that bounced off of each other and built together. So that's another aspect of what we what's wanted to be done is to create some programming together, perhaps a festival of sorts or just a multi-stakeholder offering that people can have a lot of fun exploring all the different disciplines that are involved.
So would it be wrong to imagine some overall unified program at some point or around a certain theme or a certain, you know, set of music and art and performance, all coordinated, all happening, say, within a 2-week or 10-day period, something of that sort?
Absolutely. Like a dine around for the arts, only much more intellectual. I mean, that's what really sets us apart and makes us a very special offering, whether it's here at UBC, Greater Vancouver, or our influence internationally, is that we're a university and we're also presenting the arts. So we're presenting things that are going to excite and also educate.
So I could imagine a symposium or something
connected
absolutely. With one of these events, which seems to me a natural thing to do, but also requires a fair amount of planning.
Well, all our units have, I'm not too sure about the presenting units, but the academic units have presented many, many symposiums, just have never looked forward, you know, long enough to say, here's something that interests us. Do you have any interest in that? What could we do together on a common theme? So that's, I back up a little bit. We're very unique, the Arts and Culture District here, because we're two different breeds of arts presenters. There's the Chan Center, for example, presenting world's music, and they're not affiliated with an academic course, whereas you take the School of Music, UBC Opera, they're an academic unit, and their performers are MFA, BFA, actors, singers, musicians, that stars of tomorrow, today, as the saying goes. And the thing that I think some people may not realize is, well, I suppose, like as in many other faculties where it's a conservatory environment, you can only accept so many people. These students are incredibly accomplished even before they come to us. They may have, in the case of theater, they may have worked at Shaw Festival. They may have their own company. Many of them do that, for instance, come to take the MFA in directing. They accept two directors each year. So the quality of performance, sometimes I think when people hear student, they think, not as good. No, experimental, risky, and they're up there, you know, in some cases presenting their thesis for hundreds of people every night.
This sounds wonderful, marvelous, theoretical, and I'm going to say impractical. Now, I say impractical not just to get your smile, but in fact, how physically will things be different so that I see an advertisement or promotion of a particular set of events, but when I come to campus, will I still be walking in the dark to try and locate the Belkin Gallery and where actually is the old auditorium if there's a performance of something there? Do you have in mind some sort of physical way of shaping or even symbolizing the existence of the district?
Oh, absolutely. And one thing that was very gratifying for me to notice, I think it happened about a year and a half ago with the transformation of Main Mall. There was some, it looks like LED lighting added, and it's much brighter along there already. So yes, that's in our vision that was articulated, flags, lights, coverings on buildings, all sorts of opportunities are abound, and they also exist through perhaps creating partnerships with people that are doing things such as UBC parking, so that when you pull into the parkade, you've got something that tells you exactly what's on offer there. And you may just be coming to work your first day at UBC as a professor or secretary, but you find out, hey, I'm working in the cultural district, and there's something for me right here, and it looks pretty exciting.
Well, that's an interesting idea, because something as simple as, you know, LED signs in the parking lot, or at least at a few exit doors listing what events are taking place that night, that mm-hmm. day, that mm-hmm. week, is exactly mm-hmm. the kind of information that's not been available.
Yes, and you make a really good point, because we do have some signage that we would like to improve it for events that go for multi-weeks at some of the venues, not all. The Old Odd is lacking definitely there, for one. But we have world-renowned speakers that rent our, well, not rent, they're booked in by anthropology, history, philosophy, psychology. They would rent, for example, the Frederick Wood Theater, 400 seats, and sometimes we're busy with our own programming. It's a little bit, under our radar exactly who this person is, and we often are faced with a scenario where there's a huge lineup of people. They're sneaking in the stage door. They're up in the fly gallery to hear this. Then we Google him and or her, and we find out who this is. We had Temple Grandin recently, who was an example of someone that really attracted so many people. So we have no way right now to list that person that's only going to be in our facility for one day. The closest thing we could get to would be to scrawl something in chalk at the exit of the parking garage, which isn't such a bad idea either. So, you know, we have a myriad of ideas that are low budget, no budget, and then of course we've got we are going to be setting in place some planning, costing, to see what can we do, what's possible. And the other thing that working together, that I don't know if it strikes everybody immediately, the benefit of it, we all have assets, and we can create so many efficiencies working together. And in these days when, you know, everyone is looking to make their dollar stretch, this is going to be a real boon for us, I think. It's not just intellectual assets, which are many, and that we've seen the benefit of that in the workshops, but, you know, physical assets.
So is communication the key? In other words, it's not just better lighting, it's not just knowing where the buildings are, but it's getting the word out as to what is happening. And have you given any thought to coordinated communication efforts? I mean, even I might imagine something on ArtsWire, our, you know, arts kind mm-hmm. of e-newsletter, which is separate and designed only for the arts and cultural district, where one could go every day and see updates, see what's coming, so that people have that knowledge and they can plan.
Yes, absolutely. That's all in our thinking. And just before our workshop process ended this past summer, we had been looking at some of the things that seemed quite obvious, you know, and called for us, as you say, to represent ourselves as a unified whole, to let people know, you know, entice them to come in. So we experimented with a project called the UBC Arts Bucket List. And we do have a website, and that was our first collated calendar of events that we are all in. And it's still, it's a wonderful website. And just now that I have some time to dedicate myself to it, I think it will become even better, and I'll have time to draw people's attention to it. So through an offer on this website, we're running all kinds of draws for free tickets for people to come see our productions, and we're also the bucket list, if you do go to the website and download it, I think it's very enlightening about what's on offer at each unit, and there's a map to show you exactly where we are in proximity to each other.
Well, part of the audience, though, is not on Point Grey. It's downtown, generally speaking. And one of, as you know, our downtown centers is Robson Square. Might you do some things at Robson Square, if only to celebrate and promote the Arts and Cultural District, and possibly even have a satellite, you know, activity of some sort there, the purpose to entice people to come to Point Grey?
You never know. We could do anything. Outer space is not out of the question.
Glad to hear that. But do you have the budget? That's the question. But anyway. Now, I know that for a number of years, of course, you've been very involved with the theater department, dealing with communications and marketing there, and promoting shows. Is that giving you the kind of the background you feel to take over the larger area?
Well,
of the arts and culture?
Yes, and not just that. It was with theater and film, and then before that time I worked at a firm downtown called Rebus Creative, and I was the director of marketing and sponsorships, and it was a full-service marketing communications sponsorships place where people could come and have their posters designed in their ad campaign, and a festival. Well, for example, The Word on the Street, the book festival around the library, that was my baby at that time, and the Circle Craft Christmas Craft Fair. Early Music was with us for a short time. A vast number of theater companies, Capoeira Brasil. So a really wide range of different artists. And that's where I really learned that my strengths as a marketing and communications person really did translate across the arts. So that was really wonderful, because I didn't know that until then. And before that time, really, I've come full circle, because I began here as a student in the Department of Theater and Film. I graduated in the early 90s. So I think partly my historic memory of the cultural district, and also I have a huge interest, well, I do have an interest in history, particularly women's history, but also the history of UBC, and the part that the cultural district played in its formation is absolutely seminal and wonderful. And, you know, we're not that far away from our founders of the department, and the stories are all still alive, and I look forward to investigating more of that in, you know, the partners of the whole cultural district, and bringing that to life, because it's really very entertaining and exciting, the history that we have here.
Well, of course, UBC is entering its centenary year, 2015, and I know that the official events are going to begin next September, the end of September, and run into 2016. Have you given any thought to possibly coordinating some of the new district's activities with the centenary, or
yes,
at least celebrating the 100 years?
Absolutely, and we have put in a proposal to the Centenary Committee that's going to be selecting some projects to support, I think, in various ways. So that would be lovely if that happened. And yeah, the thing about us is we are always presenting, so the centenary is a great time for us to fold that into our portfolio and celebrate that.
Excellent. So now let's look ahead a bit. 5 years from now, 6 years from now, what would you like to see have happened in terms of the Arts and Cultural District? Where would you like it to be 5 or 6 years from now?
Well, I think what did come out of the workshops were a lot of desired outcomes around that. And one of them is absolutely that you would walk down our area of campus and you would know that you were in the cultural district, the way that you would know that you're in a cultural district in the West End or in any vibrant, you know, also in universities elsewhere that have them. And that our students are, well, we're very blessed to have a great student population, actually. I recall when I was a student myself, the students that saw the shows were more the students that were, they had to see the shows for courses, and a lot of seniors or older people, now my age, they were our bread and butter, and of course we have lots of mature folk in our audience that we depend on, but we have huge student audiences, and I love them, and we've always got extra seats. I want to see them all full, because they, when something's funny, they're braying with laughter, and when it's sad, you could hear a pin drop. I was at the opening last night of the Buckeye 2.1, and they had a standing ovation, the hooting, hollering. It's a wonderful play. It's a very challenging play. It's not for everyone, but the students fully embraced it, and it's because they're university students that they're ready for something that is exciting, and that's, they're not just going to sit back in their seats and, you know, relax and be entertained. They're going to be tantalized, and yeah, they're going to have a sensory, visceral experience.
And it's a process of learning, I think.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to put on a play, learning something about that, you know, particular work or piece of music. I can imagine outdoor concerts.
Yes.
On the main wall.
Outdoor.
Outdoor theater.
Break down the walls.
Exactly. And I'd also like to see a little wine bar. But that's
yes,
another story.
Yes, a wine bar. And I'd love to see places for people to just get together and sit and talk, you know, how they've designed Athletes Village. And there's things that have emerged, wonderful planning that's happened at UBC in the last couple of years with places for students to sit and have lunch. And, I mean, that's really, that's what enriching the student experience is all about.
Right, but I think you have this dual challenge because, of course, the student body is the initial phase, but the second is the public at large, because I think we could indeed anticipate a tremendous swell of support for the Arts and Cultural District from the public at large,
not only
in this particular area.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
absolutely.
The lower mainland.
Yes, and it's because our offering is so unique. And smart, and I guess another vision I would have of you know for just personal, someone comes to town to visit me, and they can't wait to get out to UBC. They've heard all about something, and they want to be where the action is.
Well, I think posters at the airport or big signs. This is the beginning, and ferry terminals. We've a lot to do.
Yes, we've got a lot to do.
It's been great fun. Thanks to Deb Pickman, the new Marketing and Communications Manager of the Arts and Cultural District at UBC Point Grey. It's really been a delight. And stay tuned for more interviews with the original voices that make up UBC's Faculty of Arts.